I will continue part three with our sermons on Jeremiah. As we saw last time, that after Jeremiah had preached that people would be thrown into a pit there, the pit of Topheth, which became the Valley of Hinnom, which became the one that Jesus talked about in the New Testament when he said, they translated hell, but it's the Gehenna. Most translations now, more modern, will not use hell. They will use Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom. And Jeremiah prophesied that they would be thrown out, their bodies would be thrown out like dung on the manure on the soil and not buried properly. And for that, Jeremiah, in verse 2 of Jeremiah chapter 20, was beaten, put in stocks, and at the upper gate, which is the house of the eternal. And when Jeremiah prophesied, he was put in stocks and an iron collar. And you see it in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 26 and 27. It says, he prophesies to put him in the stocks and the iron collar. Now then, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth who prophesies to you? They want to know, why aren't we doing war against this man? He's prophesying. We got to stop him. So in chapter 37 of Jeremiah, chapter 37, he was accused of being a traitor. You're a traitor. You're on the side of the Babylon. You want them. It'd be like somebody saying, surrender to China, surrender to Russia, because God is going to use them to punish us or something. We're in World War II, surrendered to the Japanese and to Germans. You would be looked on as a terrible traitor, which probably would be at that time. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 14, Jeremiah denies it, but Jeremiah said, a lie. I am not going over to the Chaldeans. End quote. Yet he who would not listen to him. So Inja, a guy by the name of Inja, had accused him, and he said, I'm not going over to the Chaldeans. And Inja arrested Jeremiah, brought him to the officials. Then the officials were angry at Jeremiah and beat him. It's funny how you can make people so angry with your words that they want to hurt you. They want to hurt you for saying these words. You're saying, hey, the country is not going the right direction. Hey, you're not doing the right thing. Hey, you're all out for greedy gain. You're not doing the right thing. You're not defending the rights of the widows and the orphans. You're not doing the right thing. You're siphoning off the people's money. You're taxing them too much. No, they won't listen to that. So the officials were angry. This is Jeremiah 37. I'm dropping down to verse 16 now. The officials were angry at Jeremiah, verse 15, I'm sorry, and beat him. They put him in jail. That is in a kind of a room, kind of a lock, just like a jail, the house of Jonathan the scribe, which they had made into a prison. For Jeremiah had come into the dungeon, that is, a vaulted cell, and Jeremiah stayed there many days. So he was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was put in jail. He was not allowed out. And he was fed with, lousy food and, just the bare subsistence. Now, in Jeremiah 37, dropping down to verse 17 now. Now, King Zedekiah. Now, we had King Josiah. His son, Josiah died. His son, the man that took over, Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was the thing. Then Jehoiakim was taken out too. And he died and taken away. And then Zedekiah became the last king of the country of Judah, the independent Jewish nation. And they have now, until 1947, never been an independent nation before that. And only a real minority of Jews actually live there. There are more Jews in New York City than there are in the whole country of Israel. So here we have now King Zedekiah sent and took Jeremiah out, and in his palace, the king secretly asked. Now, so he took him out of that jail. And he brings him brings him to himself. And something about Jeremiah and his sincerity and his dedication and the same message that he sent all the time must have moved Zedekiah. So Zedekiah was not a good king, by the way, at all. But he took him in privately and he said, "Is there a word?" This is Jeremiah 37, verse 17. "Is there a word from the YHWH?" These are the four letters for the living eternal God. I usually use the word eternal when I see all capital LORD. And Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, yeah, there is. Zedekiah said, "Is there a word from God?" "Yeah, there is." And then Jeremiah said, you will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon. That's what God said. "Moreover," Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, I want to know in what way I have sinned against you or against your servants or against this people that you have put me in prison. I want to know what I did. What crime did I commit? "Where are your prophets who prophesied to you saying the king of Babylon will not come against this nation, will not come against us?" Now, by this time, by the time Zedekiah got there, the king of Babylon had invaded Judah at least once and had taken a number of people, the high-level officials, out of Judah and away to Babylon. Among them were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose names we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends and Daniel himself were taken up to Babylon. "But now please listen to me, O my king," you know, "O my lord the king, please let my petition come before you and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe that I might not die there." Then King Zedekiah gave commandment and they committed Jeremiah to the court in the guardhouse and gave him a loaf of bread daily from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the guardhouse. Now, one of the things that happened was that Jeremiah lived to see the invasion and all the things that he said from getting God's word. Now, how do you prove him? When Jeremiah first started preaching at it, how was he supposed to prove? He said, "I'm preaching the word of God." How do you prove it? Well, you didn't hear it. You didn't see it. And so one of the two things you have to say, he was telling these people their sins. He was telling them what they were doing wrong. That was obvious to anybody who would listen to him. Yes, the place is filled with corruption. Everybody's out for gain. You can't, and they all speak lies. They pervert justice. Everybody's out for themselves. They don't care about the average person. They don't care. So they're going to do what they want. That should have been at least, well, yeah, you're speaking the truth here about that. But then, of course, we're not going to go because we have the temple of the Lord here and we got the king who is one of David's descendants, and David's always going to have a descendant on his throne. So they just kind of wrote it off, even though he was speaking truth. And then the second thing that brings you to it is that it came about, okay? Now, one of the things that happened to Jeremiah was he was belittled, he was derided. And he says, I'm going to read you words that's going to be very hard for you or me to understand, and you will not see this in any other translation or anything like that. Here it is, Jeremiah chapter 20. This is one of his laments. He talks to God directly. But you'll see it, Jeremiah 20 and verse 6. "And you, Pashur," this is the guy that put him in stocks, okay? "And all who have been in your house will go into captivity, and you will enter Babylon, and there you will die, and there you will be buried." You're saying it won't happen. You're going into Babylon. You're going to be buried in a foreign country. "And you and all your friends to whom you have falsely prophesied." They're telling, "Oh, no, we don't need to do anything. Oh, we're fine." Babylon will never come here. We don't need to surrender. We don't do that. But in verse 7, after being belittled, after being treated this way, Jeremiah says, he speaks to God himself. He speaks to the YHWH, the four-letter name of God. I call it the eternal, the ever-living one. It means the ever-living one, okay? He says, "Oh, eternal, you have deceived me. And I let you deceive me, and I was deceived." It means I let you deceive me. Now, this Hebrew word, you will not find any English translation that will translate what I'm about to tell you, and I'll tell you why. They just would never put this in the Bible. It is so close to blasphemous that they just could not bring themselves to plate this. But this English word, "you have deceived me," it is the same word used in the book of Exodus, the same Hebrew word used in Exodus 22, verse 16. If a man seduces, that's the same word. The one that's translated deceived in the New American Standard Version is also translated seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her. He must pay dowry for her to be his wife. He seduces. He puts pressure on her to have sex. He puts pressure on her. He seduces. Now, what is he saying? "Oh, eternal, you have seduced me. And I let you seduce me. You have overcome me. You're stronger than me. You overtook me. And you prevailed." Now, brethren, this is a tough thing to say. But what Jeremiah would be saying in the vernacular, "Oh, eternal, you have raped me. And I let you rape me. You have overcome me. You've prevailed. You're stronger than me. And I just let it happen." Now, do you remember in chapter 1 when we talked, when God said, "I'm going to have you, I was from the time before you were born, I want you, I knew that, and I want to put, you were going to be my prophet." And he said, "I'm too young, I can't do it, I can't go out and say this." And God said, "I'm going to put my words in you, and you're going to say it. You're going to go where I tell you to go, and you're going to say what I tell you to say." So at this point, he says, "You have raped me." And then he says, now, listen, here's the question. What is it that you cannot say directly to God? If you're in your prayer, things are going bad. And here's why he says this. "I have become a laughingstock." This is the same verse 7, the last part of verse 7. "I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everybody mocks me." They mock me. You know, one of the hardest things, one of the most important things for a human being is to have some form of respect, to be in among people that people respect you. If you were in a crowd of people and somebody called you out, belittled you, ridiculed you, reduced you to nothing, talking about how stupid you are, how dumb you are, how evil you are, how rotten you are, how deceived you are, how you're a liar, how you're a traitor, how you are no good. And that happened all the time to Jeremiah, all of them. He says, I've become a laughingstock. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, now he's talking to God now. "Each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because to me, the word of the eternal has resulted in reproach. Your word has resulted for me in reproach and derision, making fun of me, laughing at me, calling me names all day long. Every day I get up and I speak your word, people laugh at me. But if I say," now he's talking to God, "but if I say I will not remember him," the eternal, or speak anymore in his name. He didn't come on his own. He's coming on God's name. I will not speak anymore in his name. Then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire in my mind. Heart meaning here, you know, the heart, not just here in your chest, it's up here. The heart, like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. So I have to say it. I know what's coming. I have to say it. But God, you deceived me. You raped me and made me do this. And I'm held in contempt. How many people could be, you know, listen to what he says next, verse 10. Jeremiah 20, verse 10, for I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him, end quote. And then, so that's what they're saying again. I know what they're saying. Let's denounce him. Let's make him look stupid. Let's make him look bad. Then he says to God, all my trusted friends watching for my fall, they say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take out our revenge on him. As soon as he makes a mistake, if he says something factually wrong, we'll get after him. We'll smash him. But the Eternal is with me. Now, after being very upset, very angry with God, now listen to what he says next. But the Eternal is with me. I know you're with me. Like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. I know in the end they will stumble. They will not prevail. But it's what he's expressing. It's not easy. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. Yea, O Eternal of hosts, you who test the righteous, you who see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have set forth my cause. In other words, I just want this to happen so they see that I was telling them the truth all this time. And then he says, sing to the Eternal. Praise the Eternal, for he has delivered the soul of the needy one from the hand of evildoers. You notice the emotions here? His emotions. You deceived me. You raped me. You seduced me into this. I let you do it because you overpower me. And I've been treated so badly all day long. And then he said, but I'm going to sing praises to the Eternal because God is good and he's going to be righteous and you test the righteous. I know you're putting me to the test. I know this is what you're doing to find out what's in my mind. I'm going to sing praises to the Eternal because he's delivered the soul of the needy. So far, so good. But now notice the emotions go the other way. Verse 14, Jeremiah 20, cursed be the day when I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. I don't want any birthdays, presents. I curse the day I was born. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father saying a baby boy has been born to you. And that made my father very happy, says, and made him very happy. But let that man be like the cities which the Eternal overthrew without relenting. And let him hear the outcry in the morning and a shout of alarm at noon. He wants that man to be punished, so to speak. Because he did not kill me before birth. I should have been killed. He's telling all the troubles, all my problems, so that my mother would have been my grave. I would have been killed. My mother would have been my grave and her womb. Ever pregnant. Why did I come forth from the womb to look on trouble and sorrow so that my days have been spent in shame? Shame. There's probably nothing harder for human beings to take than being shamed, disgraced, ridiculed. And by the way, if you are a private person and somebody holds you up in a meeting and uses your name to ridicule you, call you names, talk about you, and things that probably are not true, maybe even if they are true, but you're a private person and they ridicule you, hold you up to contempt in front of other people, that's libelous. You can sue. That's slander. You can sue for that. You have a right to have dignity. Every person has the right to have dignity. The hardest thing is for somebody to run you down. You're trying to tell, can you imagine Jeremiah? He gets it from God. He's trying to say what God wants. Very hard. Job understood this. In Job chapter 29, verse 24, Job said, if I smiled at them, they hardly believed it, and they did not. And they did not cause the light of my face to darken. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I lived like a king among the troops. I was like the one who comforts all the mourners. I was prosperous. I was doing well. Now, I'm reading from the New English Translation. New English Translation. Job now chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. But now they mock me. I was up here. I was prosperous. I employed people. I came to the aid of people who were suffering. But now they mock me. Those who are younger than I, whose fathers I disdained so much to even put with my sheepdogs. I wouldn't let them be around my sheepdogs. They were incompetent. They didn't know their father. These people whose fathers I wouldn't even let employed. But now what do they do? Moreover, the strength of their hands. What use was it to me? Men whose strength had perished, gaunt with want and hunger, they would gnaw the parched lands in former time, desolate and waste. By the brush, they would gather herbs and the salt from the salt marshes, and the roof of the broom tree was their food. In other words, they grabbed the little least thing. They were banished from the community. People shouted at them like they shout at thieves. These are people of low class, low intelligence, low morals, so that they had to live in the dry stream beds, in the holes of the ground and among the rocks. They brayed like animals among the bushes, and they were huddled together under the nettles. Sons of senseless and nameless people. They were driven out of the land with whips. And now I have become their taunt song. Now here's Job. After God took away his children, took away all his wealth, took away all his prosperity, and let Satan now, and God did it through Satan, Satan's accusation. And then Satan accused him. Oh, yeah, you're sure he's faithful because you haven't heard him. Taken away. So he was struck with boils from top to bottom. Yes, they detest me and maintain their distance. They do not hesitate to spit in my face because God has untied my tent cord, afflicted me. People throw off all restraint in my presence. Now, he was way up here, and now he's down, and people are now using that to despise him. On my right hand, the young rabble rise up. They drive me from place to place and build up siege ramps against me. They destroy my path. They succeed in destroying me without anyone assisting them. They come in as though a wide breach had happened. Amidst the crash, they come rolling in. Terrors are turned loose on me. They drive away my honor like the wind, and like a cloud, my deliverance has passed away. And now my soul pours itself out within me, days of suffering, take hold of me. Night pierces my bones. My gnawing pains never cease. With great power, God grasps my clothing. He binds me like the collar of my tunic. He has flung me into the mud. I have come to resemble dust and ashes. I cry to you, but you do not answer me. I stand up, and you only look at me. You have become cruel to me. Listen to what you can say to God. You might have something where you're calling on God and you're suffering and things are happening to people you love, maybe to your children, maybe to your spouse or something. You cry out to God. And he said, I cry out to you. You've become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you attack me. You pick me up in the wind and make me ride on it and toss me about in the storm. I just feel like I'm just thrown around. I know you are bringing me to death, to the meeting place for all the living. I know this. You're doing this. Well, it was a very tough word for some of God's people who suffered. Okay. In 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 1 through 5, we're going to see here, during his lifetime, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Jehoiakim. First, that was the one before Zedekiah. This is 2 Kings. This is historical now. 2 Kings 24, 1 through 5. During his lifetime, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jehoiakim, who became his vassal for 3 years, after which he turned against Nebuchadnezzar and rebelled. The Eternal sent raiding parties from the Chaldeans, the Armenians, the Moabites, the Ammonites against Jehoiakim. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, in keeping with the message from the Eternal that had been spoken through his servants, the prophets, mainly Jeremiah. It was truly by the command of the Eternal against Judah that it came, in order to remove them from his sight because of every sin that Manasseh had committed, as well as for the innocent blood that he had shed. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Eternal would not forgive them. I'm reading that from the International Standard Version. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, there were two things. He was going to plant, and he was going to tear down and disrupt and uproot. The other one was he was going to build and to plant. And you see these from chapters 25 through 52, pretty much. But you'll see it mainly, you'll see what God is going to do. He's going to bring about, he's going to reconcile from chapter 30, verse 33, all the way through to chapter 31. And I'm just going to read certain selections of this. Jeremiah 31. Even though God is going to tear Israel and tear Judah down, listen, this is what God says, Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Eternal. Jeremiah 31, dropping down to verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Eternal, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Those two groups that separated, they were all one nation, but they separated as a result of Rehoboam and then Jeroboam, they split. Not like the covenants I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Eternal. It was my marriage covenant. I was a husband. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel in those days. This is what I'm going to do. In those days, declares the Eternal, I will put my law within them. And on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach again every man his neighbor. So here, there's going to be a time God is saying through Jeremiah, no, this is not going to last forever. I'm going to restore you. There's going to be a time to build and plant. And this has actually become fulfilled in the Christian church, because this is the essence of the new covenant. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Eternal. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That's also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Thus says the Eternal, who gives the sun for light by day and fix the order of the moon and stars by night, for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Eternal of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Eternal, then the offspring of Israel will cease from being a nation before me forever. So as long as the moon is at night, as long as the stars are up in the heavens, as long as all these things are happening, then Israel will always be a nation before God. He will always have these people. But the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, it's not just those people. It's not the who is a Jew who is one outwardly, but a Jew who is one inwardly, a person who has been converted, who loves God from his heart, who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord. That's the one who is truly of Israel. And Paul calls in the book of Galatians, he says, may God's blessing be upon it, and the Israel of God. And he means the New Testament church, the Israel of God. Here's a strange passage in the book of Jeremiah, okay? Jeremiah 25, beginning in 1, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Now, when you read that, this is not Jeremiah saying this. This is somebody reporting about Jeremiah. Usually Jeremiah says the word of the Eternal came to me. But this is somebody, Jeremiah 25. It's kind of a strange situation. The word that came to me, the word that came to Jeremiah, he's not writing this about himself, concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, okay? So some other person is, other than Jeremiah, wrote this about Jeremiah. In verse 2, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke. So this word came, and this, whoever's writing this is saying, Jeremiah spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying. Now what, saying, and what Jeremiah said. He said it, whatever he said. Jeremiah said this. And then verse 3, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of the Eternal has come to me. This is what Jeremiah finally said. So whoever's writing this saying, here's what Jeremiah said, that the word of the Eternal has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. So somebody other than Jeremiah is writing this about Jeremiah. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 13. I will bring upon that land all my words, says God, which I have pronounced against it, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. It's referring to a book that had already existed. When this verse is referring to a book that already existed, And God is saying, I'm going to bring about all my words that I have pronounced against it, that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied. All the things Jeremiah prophesied were being written in a book. And it was prophesied against the nations. So there are many chapters in the book of Jeremiah that are not necessarily in time order. That's the difficulty with this book. And as I mentioned before, the Septuagint version has a different order of the chapters after chapter 25 and verse 3. And then the Septuagint version is not at all. So the Jews in Alexandria, Egypt, must have had a manuscript of the book of Jeremiah and translated into Greek that was different from what we call the Masoretic text now. And we know that the Septuagint version is older than the Masoretic text. It's older. We don't have a Masoretic text that goes beyond the 8th century AD, the 9th century, the 800s AD. That's the 9th century AD. We don't have a manuscript that goes beyond that, or earlier than that. So he's saying, so these chapters are not necessarily in time order, and the Septuagint is different from our Bibles. I have checked it. I have a Septuagint version on the shelf. I checked the Septuagint version, and by the way, it doesn't have all 52 chapters that Jeremiah has. It doesn't have them. It stops earlier than that. Now, here's a passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today. This is Moses now talking to the people. So that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it. So that you may prolong your days on the land, which the Eternal swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes. Now, Jeremiah 32, verse 15. Jeremiah once again knows it's going to be planting. He's got a ministry of tearing down, ripping up, and replanting. Jeremiah 32, verse 15. For thus says the Eternal of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land. And if you remember, during Jeremiah's ministry, God told Jeremiah, buy some land, buy land, buy houses, because you're going to return. And evidently, there must have been some kind of deed back then that they could buy houses and things and return to the land and take ownership of it. There must have been something like that. Now, in the book of Lamentations, you see Jeremiah's laments of how terrible. Jeremiah lived to see the events, the fall of Jerusalem. Not pleasant. You say, well, he finally got to see. He finally got his way. You know what? I don't care how much he wanted these people hurt. When he saw what happened to Jerusalem, when he saw the people of Judah, when he saw his fellow countrymen being ripped up and torn apart and shot and stabbed and killed and their children killed and the women raped, Jeremiah lamented. He cried and cried and cried. Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen to me? If you're a true prophet of God, if you're a true servant of God, you do not want evil to happen to people. I don't care how mad you get for a moment. You know, we've all gotten mad. I wish I hit that person. I wish that person. You know, that is not a good attitude. It's not an attitude of love and care for people is what true prophets have. not an attitude, I'm glad you're dead. No, no true prophet does this. In chapter 20, 52, you'll see it's a statement. Some people think this was added to Jeremiah, but whether it was or not, we have it in our Bibles. Chapter 52, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king. He reigned 11 years. Man, he was prime of his life, 33 years old in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was, and it goes on. There's another Jeremiah of Libreth. He did evil in the sight of the Eternal, like all that Jehoiakim had done. That's his brother. They were no good. They didn't follow the ways of their fathers. They must have had mothers that didn't really care. For through the anger of the Eternal, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah until he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now, see, again, he's listening to the false prophets. Jeremiah told him, don't rebel. Surrender. No, he rebels. Now, it came about in the ninth year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, and he and all his armies against Jerusalem camped against it and built a siege around it. So the city was under siege until the 11th year of the king of Zedekiah. In the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine was so severe that the city was there. No food for the people. No food. Describe it in the book of Deuteronomy. It's exactly what Deuteronomy said. You'll see the women eating her own afterbirth, and she's going to hide it from her husband. There's nothing to eat. The people get so starved, they're eating some of their children and everything. Then the city was broken into, and all the men of war fled and went forth from the city at night by way of the gate of Jerusalem, and two walls which were by the king's garden through the Chaldeans, though the Chaldeans were all around the city. They went even there trying to get away, and they went by way of the Arba. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his armies scattered. He went down south to Jericho, which was down by the Dead Sea. Then they captured the king and brought him to the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he also slaughtered all the princes, all the rulers of Judah in Reba. Jeremiah said it. Jeremiah predicted it. But he was. Then he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death. They were imprisoning Jeremiah. Now he's in prison. Now on the 10th day of the fifth month, that was under the ninth year of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the captains of the bodyguard who were in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Eternal. He burned God's house, the temple. He burned the king's house. He burned all the houses of Jerusalem, even every large house. All the rich people, they had all these houses, and he burned them all, including God's house. Which, you remember the temple of the Lord speech that in chapter 7, which we read a couple of last week, the temple of the Lord. Oh no, it can never happen here. We have the temple, and they burned the house of God. So that all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain and the guard broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away into exile some of the poorest of the people and the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the artisans. There are always people, you know, which way can I do to save my life first? I don't want to fight. They were deserters at that time. But Nebuzaradan, the king of the guard, left some of the poorest people to be vine dressers and plowmen. Now the bronze pillars which belong to the house of the Eternal and the stands which of the bronze were there, the seed which were in the house of the Eternal of the Chaldeans brought all those pieces and carried them away. Took it right out of the temple that Solomon had built, took it to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, all the basins, the pans, the bronze, and all the vessels. The captain of the guard took away the bowls, the fire pans, the basins. There's a detailed report of all was taken, all the fine gold, the two pillars, the one of the sea and the two bronze bulls and so on, all of that, which King Solomon had made for the house of the Eternal, the bronze and all the vessels were beyond weight. As for the pillars and so on, all this now, they took all this. You'll see it all the way down. Now, and let's drop all the way down to verse 31. Now it came about in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, showed favor to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of the prison. Then he spoke kindly to him in his throne above the thrones. Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes and had made meals in the king's presence. For his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king of Babylon, a daily portion. So one of the king's sons was treated decently. But the rest of it, they struck down and put to death all of these people. It's almost as bad as the French Revolution and the guillotine. They wanted to kill everybody that was prosperous and so on in the city. And this is what the king of Babylon did. He killed all the princes, all the royalty, all the smoke that he could do, and carried the rest of off into Babylon. It was not a pretty sight. And Jeremiah lamented. And if you want to read the book of Lamentations, you'll see how much he hated it and how much he cried for his people. Being a prophet is not easy. Being a prophet where you don't have any miracles to show, you know, Jesus did miracles. Jeremiah didn't do any miracles. He didn't walk on any water. He didn't heal any people. He didn't raise any people from the dead that we know of. So what did he do that showed that God was with him? Only the truth about the state of affairs. And the second was the coming to pass of what he said. I hope you can appreciate Jeremiah more, but I also hope you can appreciate what is it that you can't say to God, you yourself. You could say anything to God. God will understand you because he knows what's going on in your heart and mind. So in your prayers, sometimes you're not very effective. Sometimes you may say the wrong word and slip, and you're angry with God. Why did you let this happen? As I was for a little bit, you know, I remember getting up and saying, "It's another beautiful day, God." Without Molly, did God not understand? Of course. And God understands you and all that you are going through as well. Join me as we end today's service with prayer. Father in heaven, the Almighty God, our Father, Jesus Christ came to reveal that you are our Father, and he was your divine person to walk among us, to tent among us, to show us the kind of person you are. And he brought truth to us about you that none of the prophets could know. He brought truth about you. He brought understanding about you. He letting us know you are our Father, that you love us at all times, you forgive us. And Jesus said, all sins and blasphemies Jeremiah blasphemed by saying, "You raped me, God." And yet, all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven, except the one, that is to attribute God's work to the devil, to attribute the work of the Holy Spirit when you know better to the devil. And we just thank you, Father, now for every blessing. We pray for those who are sick or injured, who are working their way through difficulties. Please hear their prayers. Please understand them, as we know you do better than any of us. You care for them more than any of us do. So we turn everything into your hands, blessing your holy name, praising you for who you are, and thanking you each and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord for the blessings you give us. In his name, amen.